Our scripture reading is taken from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll start reading with the first verse, and we'll read through verse 23. These are inspired words. The Lord inspired his servant Jeremiah to write a letter to the first group of exiles that King Nebuchadnezzar took from Jerusalem and sent off to faraway Babylon. And the Lord had a message for these exiles in the form of this letter from Jeremiah. Starting then with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 23. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. This happened after Jeconiah the king, the queen mother, the eunuchs, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon, therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning all the people who dwell in this city, and concerning your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send on them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like rotten figs that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And I will pursue them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, and I will deliver them to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not heeded my words, says the Lord, which I sent to them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. Neither would you heed, says the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Kolaiah, and Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, who prophesy a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And because of them, a curse shall be taken up by all the captivity of Judah who are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they have done disgraceful things in Israel, have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them. Indeed, I know and am a witness, says the Lord. So far, this scripture portion. I would also call to your attention Lord's Day 32 of the Catechism. I'm going to be referring to that in the sermon. Lord's Day 32. Where the third part of the Catechism begins, the part of gratitude. And we read there these questions and answers. Since we have been delivered from our misery by grace through Christ without any merit of our own, why then should we do good works? Because Christ, having redeemed us by his blood, is also renewing us by his Spirit into his image, so that with our whole lives we may show that we are thankful to God for his benefits, and that he may be praised through us, and further, so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and by our godly living, our neighbors may be won for Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and unrepentant ways? By no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like will inherit the kingdom of God. And for our text, verse 13 of Jeremiah chapter 29. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the saddest, most difficult situations that we face as Christians in our earthly lives is dealing with another person who has no spiritual understanding, who has no interest in spiritual things. And if this person is close to us, someone dear to us, a father or mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister, a dear friend, it is so discouraging, so downheartening. You can speak to such a person of God's love, how God's love lifts up your soul, how God's love fills you with joy. And they respond, oh, well, that's good for you. You can warn them of God's impending judgment, of an eternity of misery. And they respond, well, maybe there is no life after death. You can share with them how coming to church, worshiping God with the congregation, how that encourages you, how the word of God gives you strength. And their reaction is, oh, church, I find that boring. That is the tragic, natural human response. Disinterest in the Lord, a total unconcern with spiritual truth. And if we can rouse them the least bit, their line of argument seems to be, well, if God is around, let him show himself to me. If I see a miracle, or better, two, well, then maybe I'll believe. But now, says the worldly person, now I don't see any reason to believe and follow Jesus. It's dealing with a dead soul. And only the Holy Spirit can give such a dead soul new life. And as long as there is no interest, as long as there is no genuine seeking after God, a dead soul will play the let's wait and see game. We Christians, we know better, of course. We should have a good understanding of the way of salvation. And yet, if we are honest with ourselves, we must confess that we too can backslide. There can be times in our life, sometimes extended times, when we seem to lose interest in spiritual matters. Oh, maybe we outwardly go through the motions, but inwardly, there is an emptiness. Since we know a bit more, we cloak ourselves with more complex excuses. God is sovereign, we say. Well, yeah, let him do the work. Faith is a gift. Well, maybe God in his good time will give me that gift again. God is love, we remind ourselves. So surely he won't mind if I have a little bit of fun, if I commit a few sins now and then. And at last we can reach that point of extreme tension. The Lord seems so far away, and the pleasures of sin are very attractive. We lose interest in worship. We lose interest in our personal devotions. Our personal piety collapses. And then if there is the slightest spark left in our hearts, if the Holy Spirit graciously nudges us with his presence, we begin to wonder what went wrong. How can I get out of this mess? And it is then when we recognize our need, that we begin to truly seek the Lord. We begin to see the importance of the Christian life, of living out our faith, not just with talk, but with obedience. That Christian life of good works, as the Catechism explains it to us, so that our faith will once again become strong, and we will have that deep down inner assurance that yes, the Lord Jesus is my Savior. He is close by. He is ready to help those who call upon him in truth, and he is willing to help me. Our text this evening from the Word of God urges us, each and every one, to seek the Lord truly. And we do that when we consciously, devotedly turn from the ways of sin to lead a godly Christian life, the life of gratitude, the life of good works. Truly seeking God. The prophet Jeremiah, as we read, under God's direction, sent a letter to the exiles from Judah who were living in Babylon. Now remember, this was before the destruction of Jerusalem, because Nebuchadnezzar carried people off three times. First, he took the high and mighty, the queen mother, the court officials. Off they went to Babylon. Then he took others, and finally, as we know, he destroyed Jerusalem, even God's temple, and carried everyone off. But this was at the time when the first group had gone off to Babylon. And there, in that far-off city, they had the hope that they were going to return to Jerusalem very, very soon. They thought that the Lord God would help them out, that he would be gracious to them if they're in Babylon, they got a little religion. They were encouraging some of their number to set themselves up as prophets and dreamers. And the Lord God spoke to them through his true prophet, Jeremiah. He told them that their false prophets, their dreamers, that whole sham religious show that they were putting on in Babylon, that was not what he desired. The Lord wanted them to turn to him with all their heart, a wholehearted seeking. That's what the Lord wanted to see. And that message was not just for those exiles so long ago. It is written down here in the Word of God because it speaks to us, to you and me today. God has not changed. To go through the motions of religion is not enough. The Lord God looks down upon us and he wants to see that we are sincere. He wants to see real spiritual progress. And that progress, that closeness with God, comes to those who seek the Lord, says our text, with all their hearts. And that gets us down to the very practical matter of good works. Now, good works, oh boy, that makes us feel a bit uncomfortable as Reformed Christians. As Reformed Christians, we know the history of the Reformation, how the Church of Rome taught and still teaches today that good works earn people salvation, and we know that is a false doctrine. As Reformed Christians, we know that we are saved by grace alone through faith alone. And the Bible tells us that in Ephesians chapter 2 that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. But dear Christians, that does not mean that there is no place at all for doing good works, for living the Christian life in your experience, in your walk with God and mine. It is true that the Lord hears our words, as we saw this morning, that the vows that we make to the Lord are important. They are binding. The Lord wants to hear us make that good profession, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Lord God also wants to see that his grace and salvation makes a difference in your life and mine. And as the Catechism explains, that is seen by good works. The man or woman, the young person, the boy or girl who wants to draw close to God, who wants a greater assurance of God's grace, who wants to praise and thank the Lord for all that God has done, for the power of salvation, that person must seek the Lord and seek to please him. And it is in that spirit that we receive the law of God. It is in that spirit that we live the Christian life. It is in that spirit that we do good. We are not earning our salvation, of course not. Rather, the task of good works, of living the Christian life, is to provide a way to seek a closer, dearer fellowship with the God of our salvation and find it. Where do you stand this evening? Here we are at an evening service. Excellent. Wonderful. But is it only the force of custom that draws you to church? If others could look deep down into your heart, would they see a dead soul? Has spiritual carelessness caused you to lose interest in the ways of God Monday through Saturday? The Lord calls you to seek Him. Fan that spark of life in your heart until it burns like a fire. The time has come for all of us to be serious about doing what the Lord commands, about living that dedicated, devoted Christian life, because it is those who are obedient, who are showing to the Lord that they are truly seeking Him. And our text says that will have a result. You will find the Lord. The people of Judah had wandered far from God. They had fallen into the sins of idolatry and immorality. And the temple of the Lord, which at this time was still standing in Jerusalem, and all the rituals of Old Testament worship offered up by the priests could not and did not save them. Group by group, the Lord sent them off into bitter exile in Babylon. Still, the Lord was merciful. He told His backsliding people, if they sought Him with all their hearts, they would surely find Him. They would rediscover the joy of living close to their covenant God. They would experience the presence of God in their hearts when they walked in obedience. And that truth established by the Lord God still stands today. Those who find the Lord find salvation. Our whole being is renewed so that we reflect the image of God more and more. The Lord Jesus is the conqueror of sin and death, and He shares His victory with His people. When we find the Lord, we find forgiveness and life. We also find true thankfulness. After all, gratitude is more evident in what we do than in what we say. In the Gospels, we read the account of those 10 lepers whom the Lord Jesus healed. By a miracle, Jesus cleansed them of that terrible disease. And off they ran to show themselves to a priest to be given a certificate of cleansing so that they could go back to their families, back to their villages and towns and take up life again. And only one stopped and returned and gave thanks. And Jesus praised that thankfulness. It was genuine. It was more than words. It was thankfulness in action. And those who find the Lord find assurance. When we are living the Christian life, when we are living for Jesus, then, as the Catechism says in answer 86, each one of us may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof. Many Christians, we too, can sing the hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. But how many of us actually know that assurance? How many of us can really say, oh yes, yes, I know for sure? There is so much hesitation these days. We hear dear fellow church members say haltingly, "Oh, well, yeah, I hope I'm saved. I guess things are okay between me and the Lord." And if we're honest with ourselves, we have to acknowledge that many times doubts and fears assail us. We're so timid in our faith, too terrified to witness. Why? Because we lack assurance. We need to apply the confident words of Lord's Day 32. We need to apply the inspired words of our text to our hearts and lives. We can be assured of our faith when we see the result of our faith, the good that we do in obedience to the Lord. Those who find the Lord find salvation, thankfulness, assurance, the power to witness. Surely, surely it is worth it. Every Christian, you and me, yes, that's what we want. That's how we want to live. And it's not some impossible dream. It can be your experience if you are willing to live the Christian life, to do those good works, as the Apostle Paul wrote, prepared beforehand for us by the Lord. Too much time has already been wasted. We need a decision to serve the Lord in obedience, to seek after the Lord, not just with words, but with action. Dear Christians, it is one thing to know the truth. It's quite another thing to put it into practice. The Word of God convinces us of the truth, that how we live out our lives, that's important. It makes a difference. We know that. But so often we hesitate. We hesitate to live it. Oh, it's not that our souls are dead, thank God. It's not that we're utterly uninterested in spiritual things. Rather, we're so like those first exiles of Judah to whom Jeremiah wrote the word of the Lord. We're too quickly satisfied with the externals of religion. We go through the motions, the right motions, and we think, "Oh, good, I've done my duty." We turn our Christian belief into an intellectual pastime, a source of discussion topics that we can argue about, something that we can debate with one another in our spare time. And as a consequence, we become spiritually weak. We lack the assurance of salvation. We lack a real personal piety that makes our lives different from the lives of unbelievers all around us. We need to be shaken awake by the infallible word of God. We need to hear, to listen to the prophet's message. "If with all your heart you truly seek me, you shall ever surely find me." A sincere heart naturally produces an obedient life. And that, more than anything else, I think, is a great need of us 21st century Christians. We need to do that which God's word says is right. Dear Christians, as you go out into the world, out into the week ahead, reflect on this. Live that Christian life. Do good to those who share life as members of your family. And you will find that your godly walk of life is a real powerful witness for Jesus Christ, your Savior. Do good to your fellow Christians right here in this congregation of which you are a part. Encourage them. Help them to grow spiritually. Show them that you love them. and you will find within your heart a growing assurance of faith because you are putting your faith into action. Do good to those around you, at school, at work, at home, in your neighborhood, and you will be showing to the Lord that you are really thankful for all that He has first of all done for you. Those of us who want to draw near to the Lord and to find a close communion with Him will then be eager to live the Christian life. And we will step forward to do exactly that, to do what is right, to practice what is good, to show to the Lord that yes, we are genuinely seeking Him with all our heart, and then praise God. We will find Him. We will find Him to be our loving and gracious Father in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, truly it is the desire of our hearts that our faith will grow, that we will have a greater assurance of our faith, that our very way of life will be a witness for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. O Lord, help us. Help us in the days and weeks, years, however much time it will please you to give us here below. Help us, Lord, to live that genuine Christian life, that life of doing what is good and right in your holy sight. Help us, Lord, to truly seek you. For we know that your promise rings true, that so doing we will ever surely find you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.